want to begin today with a beer commercial and a top 10 country music song. This is an unusual thing, I know, but we'll give it a go. Both of this, the beer commercial for, and I won't say the brand of it, but it rhymes with Michelob Light. Okay. I get no money, by the way, for saying that. And this is not an endorsement in any shape, but there used to be an advert for Michelob Light, which says, who says, some of you know this, who says you can't have it? Okay, you're with me. All right, so who says you can't have it all? And actually, that country music song by Alan Jackson. Some of y'all know Alan Jackson. My wife says, I grew up with them boys that looked like Alan Jackson a long time ago, and I'm glad I didn't marry one. I said, yeah. Alan Jackson wrote this song, and it's actually one of his favorite to sing. It says, who says you can't have it all? Right. Actually, there's a lot of people that are running around saying you can't have it all, okay? I mean, you think about it, the whole idea behind who says you can't have it all is I can do, I can get, I can consume as much as I want to in any way that I want to and do as much as I can, and there will be no consequences to it, right? You can have it all. Have your cake and eat it too, right? Which I never really understood, but I think you know that phrase. Friends of mine who were through hikers on the Appalachian Trail. The Appalachian Trail runs from Georgia to Maine. It takes several months to kind of do that. And those people that hike all the way through that, they're burning through calories like crazy. And so one of the things that they would wind up doing, certainly my friends would, is they would come to a small little town along the way. And it's not so common now, but there would be restaurants with all-you-can-eat buffets. Y'all remember all-you-can-eat buffets? Before COVID, maybe down the street now, I don't know. But there would be these all-you-can-eat buffets, and these thru-hikers would sit down with their enormous appetite, and they would keep eating, right? And then finally, they said, I don't know how many of those places we got thrown out of. It turns out, it's not all-you-can-eat. But think about what it would do to your body if you were to do that. Think about what it is that we would be if there weren't those limits. I mean, it's the kind of stuff that says, you know, I can stay up all night. Remember these days from when you were younger? I can stay up all night. And then the next morning, I can get up and I can go to work and I can function just like I'm fresh as a daisy. Right? Now, that actually happens maybe twice in life. Right? It does actually happen, but then there's a toll that is paid. You really can't have it all. And so that means that incumbent upon us is a place of decision that we have to kind of say, all right, well, what's important? We've kind of been talking about this for these last few weeks. It's fascinating how Jesus kind of comes back to this theme. What is important, and what are you going to choose in the midst of this? I mean, Jesus comes to a place where he says, what will people gain in exchange for their life? What are you turning over in your life so that you can have that, but then you actually wind up paying a really hard consequence? That you enter into a place in your life where you might say, what have I done? Or what have I done to my family? Or what have I done to my future self? Jesus first asks, why gain the whole world and lose your life. So there's a pivot question here. There's something in front of us that says, you can really have it all. But there's a cost. There's a price. You can have it all as a community. We want this together. But at what cost? You can have this personally. But at what cost? Jesus, in this passage, right before, he says, in fact, we've visited this passage before. We spent some time with it a couple weeks ago. He goes and he takes his disciples to Caesarea Philippi, right? That crossroads where culture kind of comes together. Remember talking about that? Please tell me you remember talking about that. Because that was a good sermon. If you didn't enjoy that sermon, go back and look at it again, because it was awesome. No, he takes them to the crossroads of culture and society, and he says, who do you say that I am? Actually, who do people say that I am? And he gets a little bit of a mess, and he says, all right, what are you saying? And he says, the leader of the pack says, you're the Christ, right? And then he basically says, then follow me. He also says, by the way, really tough stuff coming to me and actually through you. So there is a cross that you'll have to pass through. In fact, you'll have to pick up your cross and follow me. Is anybody in here really excited about picking up their cross? Do you wake up this morning and think, man, I really hope that I really struggle with that cross today? It's funny. Somebody writing about this whole thing said that would be a terrible way to advertise a church, wouldn't it? Right? Come and worship with us on Sunday and suffer. Maybe we need a big sign. Welcome to suffering. No. But that's part of it. It's remarkable, and we forget about this sometimes, that it's also the reality of Jesus's suffering with us. That we step into those broken places in our life not alone. Indeed, Jesus comes and says, I will go just as far as you have fallen. I will go just as far as you are struggling. In fact, I'll go even further than that. I'll go into death. Have you heard about this? Has Easter come here? Yeah, a time or two? Like, there's Holy Week, right, where there's the suffering, and then there's the torture, and there's the death, right? And then we all go home on Friday, and, we have a good evening, and then Saturday comes. What do y'all do on Saturday? Do you hide Easter eggs? Do you make potato salad? Are you basting the ham, And then, what happens? Oh, come on. What happens on Easter Sunday? Right. It's the celebration of Jesus' resurrection, right? All right. And that resurrection, friends, is also your resurrection. Right? It is not just a singular act by Jesus going, I did it. It's not that. In fact, it's the very beginning of a pathway for us to live into what we had been offered for all time and have blown it over and over again. And still, Jesus says, I want to open the door for you to come into this life that I have dreamed for you to live. Come and follow me. even through the suffering, even through the hardship, even through the abundance. Because don't forget that Jesus also says, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Have you heard this? So in the midst of that, there are points of decision about who we are and who we are going to be. In the midst of this, there are ways in which we have to kind of look at our life and evaluate it and make sense of, who am I following in this? Am I going to follow my impulses? Am I going to follow tradition that my mom and dad said, this is the right way? Am I going to follow my emotional impulses that say, I can't handle this, so I'm going to blow up on you? Or am I going to take this and find ways to kind of live through what the Spirit had given me? Remember we talked about that? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, forgiveness, compassion. What is it that we are able, what is it that we are willing to give up that life for? What are we willing to give up for that one wild, precious life that has been given to us by God? And that's the point, right? Now, there's complexity to this, of course. Life is not just a simple switch that we flip. Wouldn't it be nice? Oh, that would be awesome. Oh, just flip that switch. No, life is very complex and very, you know, it demands a lot of us, and it demands us to be prepared and to go deeper and to kind of root and ground ourselves in something that is much bigger than ourselves, which is, frankly, the very love of God. And the direction and the giving of that kind of love from us to ourselves, to the people around us, our neighbors, and to God and God's self. I mean, have y'all seen Oppenheimer? Some of you have seen this movie. Don't go and see it because Pastor Bert said so. Okay. It's got some difficult scenes, and some of them, you know, portray intimacy, okay? Do I need to explain that to y'all? You get that? Okay. But it's remarkable, and if you think about the story of that particular individual, Oppenheimer, is thought of as the father of the atomic bomb, right? But also a person who advocated for that bomb, for that weaponry to be used or not used. It's like it takes an emotionally and morally and ethically complex person to both unplug the bottle and then complain about the genie coming out. These are the kinds of complex things that are in front of us all the time. I know that. And I'm not going to just be simply reductionistic and say, oh, well, just do it. It's that simple. Just flip the switch. But isn't it good that we have the questions in front of us that will guide us, including the very question that Jesus says is, what are you willing to give for that? I went to a workshop a few years ago with a pastoral counselor and pastor who was advocating for the idea that some things you have to say no to. Now, I don't know if you remember being a two-year-old, right? But when you heard at two, the word no, you thought, all right, it's on. It's on like Donkey Kong. Let's go. But actually, the word no can be one of the most powerful and empowering things, because in some moments, in a lot of moments, in many moments, no can also make space for yes. Have you noticed that? In order to say yes to some things, you have to say no to others. If you want to get up and sing in a beautiful way on Sunday morning, can you go out and have a wild time on Saturday night? Don't answer that. I don't want to get that personal with you guys. But you see what I mean? In order for some things in our life to make sense, for us to be who we've desired to be who God has desired us to be, there are things that we will need to say no to so that we can say yes to. Amen? Amen. So your homework is to go and spend some time this week with the question of, what am I going to do with this one wild and precious life? What am I going to do? And then, what do I need to say no to? And what do I need to embrace? That is your homework. Do it well. And I say this to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.